Hey, everybody. Tim Miller from The Bulwark here with Sam Stein. I need hazard pay coming back in. You know, it's just like you got to throw me into the fire. And Donald Trump did an Oval Office press conference. Tired Tim before vacation was skipping some of the press conferences. I didn't need it. I couldn't handle it anymore. It was bothering me. Not refreshed, Tim. Sam Stein always is working hard. He's always watching everything. So we launched this press conference. The biggest news is about Jeanine Pirro. We'll get to that at the end. Judge Box of Wine. But there's a bunch of other weirdness and craziness. And let's just go to the clips, huh, Sam?
Yeah, let's do it, man. It's good to have you back.
First up, alleged wife scalder and domestic abuser, Max Miller. Trump was asked about the latest with him and his father-in-law saying he should resign from Congress. Let's listen to that.
You were asked yesterday whether Representative Max Miller should resign from Congress over the allegations, and you said that you'd have a look at it. Have you thought about that? And also, do you think that
it's a very sad thing? I know Max. He's a good person. I mean, I always thought he was a very good person. And I'm going to let the families figure that out. You know, those families, I know they're working on it. It's a very sad thing. Especially when you know somebody so well, to be going through that. But it's accusations, and I'm going to let them figure that out.
There's like a couple truisms of Trump. And one of them is that if there's a male Republican who is accused of some sort of domestic or sexual abuse, he will feel empathy or sympathy.
Really?
Or take their side.
Even Democrats often.
Yeah, that's true,
really,
too.
Really, any man accused of sexual assault. Varying degrees, but
he wasn't,
Bill Clinton.
He actually, you're right. Like, he wasn't the most on the board with the Graham Platner pitchforks. He wasn't there. And it's, like, really bothersome. I mean, I think, you know, if I you read the charges against Miller and you see the weird psychotic tape that he put up on Twitter over the weekend, and you're like, I don't know, get this guy out of here. Like, at the very minimum, you're like, go resolve your stuff outside of elected office. Like, do something else. It's really sad for the kid who had a bone broken by a seatbelt and the wife who is going through an incredible trauma. But no, Trump's got to be like, you know, I like the guy. He's a really good guy. Like,
he gets wistful. And your point about empathy, right? It's a tone that Trump doesn't hit very often.
Right.
It's a very sad thing. You know, you hear him talking, it's just a very, when you know the family, it's a very sad thing. It's like, he doesn't ever sound like that when talking
about.
Let's
say when it's a guy who was killed by an ICE agent, it's a sad thing. His daughter was,
the separation of families at the border. Like, you never hear, or even any just tragedies. Like, you never hear Trump doing that. Like, we've got to help the people. It's so sad what has happened. Like, it's only when a man is accused of sexual assault that he hits that register. Or Ghislaine Maxwell, he did that for her also. I met Jonathan Swan interview, remember talking about how that was very sad as well. It's interesting. You guys did the take on that this morning. Do you think that, like, there's going to be any momentum for pushing Miller out or not?
There's only a couple days left to do it, and Miller doesn't seem like he wants to budge. So I don't think so, but, like, you watch all the evidence coming out and you watch that creepy video he did, and then Marina finally speaks out and says, yeah, this guy shouldn't be in the House. It's tough to sort of process a universe where he, you know, just sticks it out. But then again, like, all the history that we have is that they'll rally around the guy if it gets close enough to election, right?
Yeah, it's disgusting stuff. It makes me think, I hate to pick up my own aunts and put them into this, but, like, I had these MAGA aunts and I was hanging out with them, and I always try to, like, see what's happening in their, like, information diet. And they were, like, very aware of Graham Platner, you know, like, they were like, and I was, like, naming other senators and Senate candidates, nothing, like, knew nothing, you know, about, like, the other Roy Cooper, like they don't even know that person exists. I wonder if this is breaking through the bubble.
I doubt it. Platner was, like, topic 1A on news for, like, you know, several weeks straight. It was front page discoveries on the New York Times and the Journal, and, like, rightfully so. I'm not trying to dismiss the coverage of Platner. You know, the Times did a piece on Max Miller, but, like, I don't get any sense. It's not like Fox News is covering this stuff to the degree that they were at all. So, no, there's a double standard here, obviously. Everyone knows there's a double standard and there's a hack gap. But I think that's echoed by Trump, who obviously is being, you know, incredibly deferential to a guy who's got some serious issues.
Okay, let's pull up the next clip. I want to hear him talk about Iran. But before we play it, if we could just pause and just kind of set the scene for a sec. Oval Office is looking pretty good.
Yeah, I knew you're gonna love it. It's just it's hit peak Tim right now.
I mean, I'm like, wow, more is more. I need a few more accoutrements around me, I think.
We did it while you were gone. We did a video on just this. They've really optimized the gold ornament on the. It's like totally over the top. But I know this is your
a lot
your
of color in style. That though. A lot of gold. Goldfinger. Okay, let's play. This is Trump talking about the Iran war. Let's do that.
Mr. President, this is at least the fifth time you've turned off airstrikes against Iran since April to negotiate. What is your message to the American people who are wondering what has changed this time? Why should it be any different?
Well, you don't know. I don't know. I think we're going to maybe get something, but I want to give them every last chance before decapitation. It's very tough to do what we have planned, still planned. We'll see what happens. But it's a very, very tough thing to do. I think I'm very proud of the fact that I'll give people a chance. This is a big move. To do an attack that big on a country, I'd rather not do it. Now, we've already through lots of large attacks, but they were normal large. Hopefully they'll come to their senses, because what happened cannot have a nuclear weapon. But hopefully they'll come to their senses. So they called me and they said, please don't attack. We'll make a deal. That's the real truth. And everyone knows it.
Okay, that's enough. This is enough of that. Sam, I got to tell you, as I would like to go first as the former neocon here. Like, the weakness that he is showing is just astonishing. And I think that the Democrats are afraid to make that argument because they don't want to seem like warmongers or whatever, which I guess I understand. But I think that you could make it in this frame, which is like, if you're going to start the stupidest war ever, you have to have the backbone to see it through. And like, I'm sorry, but like, this is, you think about the hours that Fox spent on the red line that Obama didn't cross. I mean, think about the statements that Tom Cotton, fancy pants Tom Cotton, put out about the red line. Obama is a weak pussy. He didn't follow through on his red line. Trump like starts a war with Iran, and then it's like, you know, we just got to keep giving him every last chance. I just got to keep giving him chances. I got to keep giving him chances. I got to give him more and more chances because I don't want to do it. I don't want to have to do the dirty work. It's just, it's limp.
It's low T. I disagree that they should, I don't think they need to help him unbury himself, because this is, it is sad and it looks so, so weak. There was another part of the clip we didn't play where he says, they're going to go quickly one way or the other. We're talking about the strait, the opening of the strait, having it open literally by tomorrow, completely open. Phase two is when we talk about the nuclear capacity. That will take a little while. And I was just watching it and I was thinking to myself, like, that's literally what the MOU was, right? We're just in like a repeat of what you signed, a document alleging that the strait was going to be open and the nuclear deal was done. And like, now you're just saying, well, we got to deal with this stuff.
Phase one looks, is back to the status quo before the war started.
I know. And honestly, you were off for 2 weeks. Like, I'm sure he said verbatim what he just said then 2 weeks ago. We're just in this repetitive cycle. It's so obvious. I'm like genuinely shocked that the markets still react at all the way they do. Like, the deal that we had last night had a deal to open the strait, and like oil like fell precipitously and the stock market took off, because it's like, folks, obviously there's no deal. There's no deal. But what are we talking about? Like, when I'm not like an expert. I don't need to like talk to the Iranians. We know now that this is just how it goes. He's going to say that they're close. Then he's going to say he's going to annihilate them. Then he's going to say we're close. Then he's going to, it's just back and forth. And I feel like we are in a never ending loop of nonsense. And yeah, maybe the Democrats can be like, hey, you look really stupid and weak. And they should say that. But like, I don't think they have to be more prescriptive than that. It's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
So with the Blanche story, he talked about this a bit on the pod. He produces the piece of paper that gets Chuck Cornyn to say that he's going to go ahead and push forward, you know, saying that he's not going to go forward with the privatization fund. But the paper doesn't say anything about the immunity from the IRS looking into Trump, which was the other element of the so-called deal. So Trump's asked about that. Let's listen to that.
Well, there are Democrats right now who say there's essentially two tax codes. There's the Trump family tax code and a normal people tax code. why do you think that your family deserves some level of special exemption when it comes to the auditing of taxes?
Well, I'll go into that. First of all, I had a 10-year case that was settled until I announced I was running for office. It was a settled deal like I've been doing all my life. I've been audited every year for my entire life, which I have a lot of wealthy friends that were never audited. To this day, they were never audited.
Maybe they weren't all fucking tax cheats like you. The whole thing is just like, yeah, dude, you were screwing people over all the time. That's why you kept getting audited. And then you kept cutting these deals because you didn't want to pay the full rate. A lot of your other rich friends are just happy to be rich American patriots to pay their fair share, or they have offshore accounts and they're American patriots that are smarter than you about cheating the tax code. Like, whatever. Like, you know, and then the other thing of him saying he was audited for 10 years, so that was all fake. That was his excuse. That was pretense for not releasing the tax return. So anyway, that's, sorry, Tim with 2016 PTSD has to weigh in on that. But it's pretty telling that he doesn't back off the pretense at all. That, like, that deal is still in place.
And the deal is still in place. It's very much in place. Even in the, like, most generous reading, you take what Cornyn and Tillis said. They're like, well, we have a deal. The IRS immunity is not going to extend beyond Trump, Trump.org, and the Trump kids. And it's like, okay, so there is a deal to immunize them, at least three of them. And, like, is that fair in the slightest? I mean, there is another story that broke over the weekend about Capital One. I'm going to read this from the AI overview. So if I get this wrong, blame the AI bots. But federal judge asked a federal judge to permanently dismiss a lawsuit brought by Donald Trump Trust, revealing it had closed hundreds of Trump Organization accounts in 2021 due to anti-money laundering concerns rather than political bias. So a major bank is saying, hey, there was real potential of money laundering happening with these accounts. Is this deal that now is still in place, even if limited, does that mean that he can't get investigated for money laundering? I mean, like, what are we talking about? Are we just going to basically say the laws don't apply to this company, this one company? Now, I happen to think that this is sort of a little bit overblown, because I don't think another future administration is just going to be like, yeah, they have a deal, going to abide by it. Like, no, I mean, come on. It still is a distortion and a perversion of the law.
It's not within modern precedent that we're in this place now where it's like the other party has to be in power for a person to get investigated. I teased Judge Box of Wine, but we got one more. Trump has some thoughts about what's happening in Europe.
This one's great.
It's very sad. When I see what's happening to Europe, it's very sad to me. But they have a problem with immigration. They have a problem with energy. You have windmills all over the place. Windmills, you lose your shirt. Any country with windmills is a loser, okay? You just have to look. If they have windmills, they're a loser.
It's true. It's a fact.
Well, we're a loser. Right there. We have windmills.
Yeah. We have the second most windmills in the world next to China. Total losers. We got 75,000 windmills in this country. Losers. Loser mentality. Trump's trying to destroy them, but we still have a lot of them. Well, what does that mean? Are we losers for windmills? Are windmills, like, you know, dare I say, are they gay?
Windmills are a little fruity. I just want to say one thing about Europe, and I don't, you know, look, I'm an American, I'm a tourist, I don't want to pretend like, you know, I'm not Tom Friedman-ing here in the cab saying I was going around here, but I don't know.
Taxi driver you talked to in Germany.
I did, and I was in Germany and France, and I was in, like, Marseille, which is one of the cities that comes up on Fox, and I was expecting a lot more hijabs, is all I'm going to say. Like, the way that they talk about this, not that that would even matter, like, you know what I mean? But the way they talk about this, I was just figuring that, like, to the naked eye, you would notice that these cities had a higher percentage of Muslims or migrants than you would have expected. And I did not experience that. And I was going to some of the seedy gay neighborhoods as well, Sam. I wasn't just in the fancy neighborhoods.
You were looking in the wrong places. All the Muslims, they live in the windmills, and they come out at night.
Yeah, I'm not saying there isn't some immigration issues with Europe. I'm just saying, if it's the crisis that everybody says it is, I was expecting to, I don't know, notice it. Like in Oakland, like if you talked about homeless crisis in California, they would put, and I used to say this when I lived there, I hate to give Tucker credit. It's like the one thing Tucker is right about. There are no middle class people in San Francisco, basically, and the homeless crisis in the Bay is out of control. And, like, you would just have to drive around and you would notice it, and it would be very noticeable. I didn't notice it in Marseille. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Thank you, Tom Friedman.
All right. Judge Jeanine could be on the chopping block. Have we lost a man yet from the administration? Only women, right?
Only women.
Tulsi, I think. Christie, Pam. Bondi.
Judge
Pirro, next. Maybe. Maybe pirouetting out of the White House. The gist here is, well, actually, Sam, you lived this, so could you just summarize really what happened with Judge Jeanine, why he's under the ire?
Why not? So Judge Jeanine, everyone knows her, famous for Fox. May or may not like a good glass of Merlot before going on air. We don't know. She is now the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. And when the reflecting pool had a disastrous reopening under Trump, Donald Trump insisted that vandals were to blame. And our good judge decided she was going to take up the cause. And she had a press conference where she said, "We found a vandal who cut all the 300 feet slit in the reflecting pool, and we've got it on video. We got all the evidence. This indictment is rock solid." And, you know, and everyone's like, "Well, did he do it with his hands? Like, what happened? Was it not an installation problem?" She said, "Just come down. The grand jury's got it all. It is rock solid," and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, over the weekend, she files a motion to dismiss the lawsuit because it wasn't rock solid. It was clearly a installation issue, as they admitted in the lawsuit. And then they, on top of that, she threw the Department of Interior under the bus, saying they gave us insufficient information about what happened. They withheld information from my office. If we had known everything about the installation, we never would have brought this lawsuit. And that was a huge egg on the face of the administration. The president in particular has been going crazy about this stuff. And Trump is not going to just sit back and take it. So he then puts out a bleat and he's like, "What the hell is Judge Jeanine talking about? This is definitely vandalism. What is she doing? I don't know why she said that." And then Doug Burgum, who heads the Interior Department, is like, "Yeah, this is not true. They all have to do this play acting. JVL wrote about this, and she has to actually be, you know, accountable to the rule of law." And instead of just like reconciling this and being like, "Yeah, we got our wires crossed and whatever," now Trump's basically like, "Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Judge Jeanine anymore."
Yeah, CNN says he's furious with Judge Jeanine Pirro.
We've heard that before, though. Come on.
Yeah. Boy. Well, he gives an 8-minute answer when asked about her during this press conference.
Was it 8 minutes?
Yeah. We're not going to play all 8, but we'll play a couple choice bites. Let's take a look.
"Have you spoken to Jeanine Pirro about her decision to drop
criminal charges?" "No, Jeanine Pirro made a mistake. There was vandalism."
And we got one other one. Let's watch that.
"Then it got carried away because the judge was extremely unfriendly to Jeanine. And frankly, I think she choked."
Choked, Sam.
Choked. What a choker.
She choked. Not like Donald Trump when he putts. He won his 90-second straight golf tournament over the weekend. He doesn't choke on the no gimmies for Trump, no shortage.
No.
The whole thing, JVL's newsletter is really good. People should go to thebulwark.com and read the triad if they haven't signed up for that, because your guy, Doug, I mean, we had our cabinet rankings. I mean, we've been doing our cabinet. It's been a minute. It might be time to re-up that here.
I know. He's moving
and,
up.
And he was always towards the top. And here he is. Like, they tried to ruin a man's life. I mean, we can joke about it. They tried to ruin a man's life, put him in jail for 10 years. The federal government was going after him based on lies. And now you have Doug Burgum from the Interior Department, like, who is still smearing him, even after they lied about him, jailed him, handcuffed him. It's disgusting.
And this is like what Trump does to people, right? Like, he just makes people into the worst versions of themselves. Like, Doug Burgum, say what you will, he was like a successful businessman. He was a governor of a state, pretty highly regarded, ran for president. People took him seriously. He was never going to win, but people took him seriously. And like, he had a good reputation. You know, he employed lots of people. He ran a state, like, he was doing serious stuff. And now he's reduced to this clown show prosecution and the beautification projects of Washington, D.C. This is the Interior Secretary. Like, his job is spent looking at golf course designs for East Potomac and like interior pool linings for the reflecting pool. Like, is that really the best use of Doug Burgum's life and time? Maybe. I mean, he's got power. He's a cabinet official. He's in line for succession. That's great. Congrats. But like, you know, it's ridiculous. And you're absolutely right. Like, the real story here is that they ruined this guy's life. They threatened to jail him. They dragged him through the mud. They made him pay all these legal expenses for what? Because you couldn't tell Donald Trump, the friendly contractor that you had who worked at some, you know, Trump property back in the day, couldn't handle the task of lining the reflecting pool? Because that's what happened. Can I try out a line?
Please.
Judge Pirro, like a bottle of Pinot Gris on a warm summer day, needs to be put on ice, or is being put on ice.
Ooh,
how's that?
That's pretty good. Trump seems ready. Later, he was asked about Lafayette Park and dug in on her. I guess my final thought about this whole thing is, like, It's like any other politician in this moment, like when they're like real problems facing the country, people have real concerns. Like you can imagine just like what a panel on cable news would say about a Democratic politician who has this like really off message, you know?
Imagine you're the panelist. Yeah, I'm the host, you're the panelist. Okay. And this is a Democratic president doing this shit. And I say, Tim, what did you make of that? What would the Republican commenters say?
Yeah, look, I think working Americans are really struggling right now. And you would think that the president of the United States would have a message or a plan for them or some kind of focus on their everyday concerns. And instead, you know, he is out there like litigating personal vendettas and defending sexual abusers. And it's just like, what? Like he has no message. He has no message at all.
Tweeting pictures of his wedge from 40 yards out. It's like, come on, man. What are you doing?
That's Sam Stein. We're back to work. Everybody subscribe to the feed. Tell your friends.
Yes.
Where else are you getting stuff like this? Nowhere. We'll see you guys soon.